You know, there's something striking, real striking, in the book of Genesis. When God created man, woman, He told him to multiply and replenish the earth. He gave him this commission. And then after the flood, after the fall from the garden and after the flood, He commissioned them to do this again. See, it was a new world, a new start, a new thing altogether. So He had to start all over again. He had destroyed them that had multiplied, replenished the earth, and now again He started a new earth. So He called again to multiply and replenish the earth. And I like to think of it like this. There's always a natural and a spiritual. And in that there has been a natural multiplying and replenishing the earth, now that we are dead to that side of life, born again, become Christians, coming into a new world, coming over the flood of God's wrath by Calvary, now God again says, multiply and replenish the earth. There should be a spiritual multiplying and a spiritual replenishing of a spiritual world and a spiritual earth. Going out sowing the seeds of righteousness and multiplying, talking about the wonderful things of God, and telling people how to multiply and replenish this wonderful earth. You know, we're reading the book of Genesis, the 7th chapter. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female. And of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female. To keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off of the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month and the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the 3 wives of his sons, with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, and every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth, and the waters prevailed, and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowls and of cattle, and of beasts, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters ashered. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off of the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month, in the tenth month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off of the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her into him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. The dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off of the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. It came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wives, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelt a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hands are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, ye shall not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require. At the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and every living creature that is with you of the fowl of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you and from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah. And of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine, and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, and laid it upon their shoulders, and went backwards, and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Now, that's reading quite a bit. We took up quite a bit of time tonight in talking to you before we got to the scriptures, which to me is a real important thing. Sometimes we get in some of the best teaching and tutoring before we ever read the Bible. You read the Bible and you go to talk to people, and the devil gets them in their carnal mind, restless, and they get on guard, you know, and you don't get anything over to them. But a lot of times before, they're not expecting that you catch their attention. The devil don't have a chance to hinder you, and you get the gospel to them, and it really does a lot of good. You know, there's quite a number of things here that's really outstanding to me. One thing is that God did everything here in the terms of seven, sending the dove out several times. And then another thing is that God said, multiply, replenish the earth. He gave a new covenant. Also, he said that he would not curse the ground again for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. Another thing, he said, my boast that I set it in the cloud, that I might always remember when something takes place in the way of my wrath. Now, when we think about God, and we think about God's wrath, and we think about what God is doing, you know, it really moves us because we realize God is so great and God is so mighty. We think about the wonderful things of God, and when we read the story of Noah or any other person or any other thing in the Bible, and we think about the great things that God has done with the great men of old and the things that God is doing, it moves us. But you know, with all of the reading of those things and thinking about those things, most of the time we never get the message and we never get the revelation. We never see it. We never get the message from God. In other words, what I'm saying is we never hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We hear what the preacher said. We heard the reading of the Bible. And we heard what somebody else said about it. But we did not hear what the Spirit said to the church. And that's what's important. It is important not for you just to hear what I say as a preacher, but rather that you that hath an ear to hear, that you hear what the Spirit says to the church. Now you might say, Brother Pike, what is the difference between me hearing what you say and me hearing what the Spirit says unto the church? I hear the words, isn't that enough? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I want you to know that when you just hear what I say as an individual, all you do is fall into the judgments of God. You fall into the judgments of God, for when you hear what I say, you are guilty because you know to do and you cannot perform it because you don't have the Spirit of God. And no man can perform the things of God except the Spirit of God. You say, Brother Pike, I pray. If I pray to God, won't God hear me? Isn't that sufficient? I go to God and I say, Lord, help me. Lord, do this. Lord, forgive me. The Bible said you don't even know what to pray for. How could you pray? You say you pray and that takes care of it. You pray. The preacher told you to pray, so you pray, that takes care of it. The Bible said you don't even know what you should pray for. The Bible said that the Spirit of God inside of you maketh intercession with groans and moans that cannot be uttered. Knowing the mind of the Spirit, He searcheth the reins of the heart. He maketh intercession. Christ is the interceder. He is the one that makes intercession. He's the great intercessor. He is the high priest of our confession. He's the one that makes intercession for us. Just as it was with Aaron, when Aaron made intercession between Israel and God, so does the great Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, our high priest, make intercession between us as a people and God. So then we don't even know what to pray for. How then can I pray? How then can I go to God and say, God, do thus and thus? I don't know what to say. I don't know what I need. God knows what I need. All I know is what I want, what I'd like to have. See, and if I ask for that, I'm leaning to my own understanding. If I do that, then I'm doing my own thing in the world. So then I don't know what to do. I don't know what to ask for. But if I go to God, the Spirit of God maketh intercession for me with groans and moans that cannot be uttered. And God that knoweth the mind of the heart and knoweth the spirit maketh intercession for me. And then God gives me the things that I need for my heart and for my soul. So then I hear what the Spirit says unto me. But if you don't have the Spirit and if you don't have the Holy Ghost, how can the Spirit, how can the Holy Ghost, how can the high priest make intercession for you with groans and moans? If he doesn't make intercession, being the high priest of your confession, if he doesn't make intercession, then what can you do? You're lost. Therefore, if you have not his Spirit, you're none of his. Now, when we think about this, we think about what the Lord said, multiply, replenish the earth. How can I do that? By speaking the words of God, going out, testifying, telling of the wonderful things of Jesus, multiplying and replenishing the earth, going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature, inviting people in, going out into the highways and into the hedges, and compelling people to come in that God's house might be filled up. God said for us to do that. See, and then when we think of what the Lord said, multiply, replenish the earth, it thrills our heart. That gives us a part in it. That keeps us alive. I said earlier, without a vision, families wither up. Children turn away from God. Without a vision, daddies and mothers perish. Children become idle and tale-bearers. They want to wander around and become dope addicts. All because nobody has the vision in the home to try to do a little something for Jesus the Christ. Everybody doing their own thing. Everybody going their own way. The daddy, he's got his mind so wrapped up in himself, so wrapped up in what he wants to do, so wrapped up until the mother thinks he's a genius when he doesn't know his right hand from his left. And he gets upset if she doesn't think he's a genius when he needs to be born again and needs to get a vision and needs to teach them something about spiritual things and stop talking about himself and his ability and what he can do and what he's going to do. Because she's not interested in that anyway, if she's got any understanding. And vice versa, the same thing applies to the woman. So then the man, the wife, the children, especially the dad, should have a vision so that the children are not idle and so that they can get their minds on God and do something for the Son of God. You know, when you think about the flood, here we get a beautiful picture of Calvary. I wish we had time tonight just to relate some things that took place today. Spiritual things that we see all the time. They're so beautiful. Watching them every day, they're so beautiful. But we get a beautiful picture of Calvary. You know, there is Calvary. There is the Ark of God. There is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Ark, into which every member fits. Every member of the body goes into that. Not just the Christians, but everyone. The Bible said the creeping went in. Those in the lower part of the ark that was blind and creatures of darkness, they went into the ark. And then it said those that went into the second story, those that were caught in between, they also went into the ark. And then those that was heavenly creatures, they went into the ark. And when we think of Jesus, the Bible says that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son that was made of a woman, made under the law. And the Bible said in the fullness of time, God gathered all things into the ark. All things into Jesus Christ. And did you know that the Lord Jesus, when he came, he literally swallowed up everything. He was made sin that he might swallow up the creeping things and forever put them away in the lower part, seal them away in darkness. Jesus overcomes sin and death. And he swallowed up in his body, being made sin, he swallowed up in his body all of the creeping things to seal them away and to do away with them. Jesus did that. And he did that with the heavenly creatures. We're all by one spirit baptized into one body as members of that body. We are baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ as a heavenly creature, as a spiritual being. Not as a creeping thing, but as a spiritual being. And those that are caught in between, those that are natural minded, those that are in this earth, not wicked people in the sense that they're creeping things, devils and demons, but walking, living human beings that are in this world, they were also gathered into that ark. Jesus swallowed them up in that he gave grace for the generations that was to come, and for the Gentile people, he gave grace that they also might be swallowed up in that great, wonderful ark of God. And thus God swallowed up everything and put them all together in this great, wonderful ark that they might continue through those 7 days, as we say, or that great wrath of God when he said 40 days and 40 nights of the wrath of God, which we saw Moses going up fasting and praying and then Jesus coming fasting and praying. And we see this great thing is God poured out his wrath. And down through the seven church ages, bringing us over to the millennium. All of this was something that God was doing. Coming over from the old world, over the flood, into the new world. And then here comes the physical display of it. A natural water world, a water witness, a water covenant. Then comes a physical display of it, a blood and another covenant. Calvary passing over the church ages to go into the millennium. And then comes another display of it where God, through his spiritual transition of the wonderful change of the Holy Ghost and the spiritual transformation of the mind by the revelation of Paul, takes us over into the third heaven, translating us into that wonderful world of righteousness. Hearing what the Spirit saith unto the churches. For if you hear what is naturally said, you come into the judgment. You become guilty. You become religious. But if you hear what the Spirit says, then you pass your carnal mind, you pass your natural reasoning, and you find yourself in a realm of revelation, being in a spiritual place, because you are one of those heavenly creatures that went up into the upper story. You know, it's just like the Lord said here in this concerning Noah. He said, I set my bow in the cloud. He said, now the bow is in the cloud. And he said, I know that the imagination of man's heart is continually evil. I know this.
He said, from your youth, the imagination of your heart is continually evil. That's why I tell you, don't lean to your own understanding. That's why I tell you to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. That's why I tell you to die out to that. That's why I tell you to be born again. That's why I tell you to take on the spiritual mind of Christ. Forget about what you are and who you are and what you can do. Die to self and get right with God and talk about Jesus and what He is and what He can do and what God wants to do with you. So then when you think about all these wonderful things, you think, why did you say the clouds? God, why did you say I set my bow in the clouds? Now, here's the rainbow. I set my bow in the cloud, which again reminds me of what Dr. Davis was saying yesterday, I believe it was. Coming from the Bahamas, they were coming over. They bought him a new plane, paid about $125,000 for it coming over. He said that the radar picked up a storm. They flew down under the storm. They're coming in under the raindrops. He said that the rain or ice, whatever it was, said hitting the propeller as the propeller was spinning. He said it caused a rainbow to be projected from the propeller back into the clouds. And said it was really a beautiful sight to see. Said he really got stirred up over it. And the pilot said, this always happens when this ice or whatever it is gets on the prop and is spinning. It always throws a rainbow back into the clouds. And I thought about that. The rainbow in the clouds, we know what the rainbow was for. We know that it was the covenant of God. And we brought out on numerous occasions of what the colors meant and what it was about, what it had to do with and how it reflected the church ages. That came from Pentecost, the spiritual part of it. When the Holy Ghost came, the Spirit of Christ, that it had to do with the church ages and the rainbow that rode over the church ages showing the body of Jesus, the Ark of Noah, going over the wrath of God that was to be poured out upon the Gentiles, going over to the Canaan land of the New World. Spiritually speaking, changing from death unto life, or that is, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Now, when we think of this, they come back to us, why the rainbow in the clouds? He said, when the rain comes up, from now on, he said, every time it comes up, he said, I will show you my bow. And my bow I set in the clouds for perpetual generations, that you may always know that when this rain comes up, that you are safe and that God will not break His covenant with you. Now, I've made a covenant with you. I made a covenant with you in the garden. I made a covenant with you concerning the fruits. I made a covenant with you concerning the vegetation. He said here to Noah and the others, he said, you still have that. Go ahead and enjoy the green things. I give you every green thing to eat even after the flood. But he said, now there is another covenant, even a blood covenant. And the blood will I require at your hands or any other man's hands if that blood is spilt. If that blood is spilt, I will require that blood at your hand. And if you spill man's blood by man, your blood shall be spilt. And so then God brought it all the way down to Calvary, and there was blood spilt continually. And the covenant stood, because even when the man killed Saul, which was David's enemy, he had spilt man's blood. David said, your blood will be spilt too. Now, see, that thing stood all the way down to Jesus, and they cried out, even knowing this, they cried out, said, let His blood be upon our own heads. Let His blood be upon us. And they spilt man's blood. They spilt innocent blood. And therefore, ever since the day that they've done it, God has spilt their blood across the battlefields, across the world. God spilt their blood through the dark ages. Their blood has been continually spilt because they accepted the spilling of a man's blood and an innocent man at that. So then he said, I set my bow in the cloud. Then you say, Lord, why the cloud? He said, when the rain passes over the earth, he said, this way you'll know that there's no more trouble. I will never destroy you again. Why? Because I know that your thoughts are evil from your youth. I know that they're evil. So then I'm going to do something for you. Just as I have cleansed this natural earth, I'm making a new covenant now. It has to do with the blood and the life which is in the blood, which is the Spirit. Therefore, I'm going to put my bowl, my covenant, the kingdom of God within you, this wonderful, great Spirit of Christ, this great glory that you'll see over there in the city of Him that sits upon the throne, the rainbow round about Him. There is, in Revelation, where He stood, this cloud upon His head, or the rainbow, clothed with the cloud, the rainbow upon His head. I'm going to place this glorious life of Christ on the inside of you, and the seed of God's going to remain inside of you. That is the clouds being typical of the Spirit. I'm not going to place it in your body. The body, the earth relating one to another, the clouds, the Spirit relating one to another. I'm not going to place it in the earth. But every time my wrath, which is symbolized by this flood, by this great rain, every time that I go, as somebody says, cloud up and rain all over you, I'll cloud up, I'll rain all over you. Every time I go to pull out my wrath, God would say, I'm going to look down in the cloud. I'm going to look down in your spirit. I'm going to look down in the cloud part of you, the spiritual part of you, and I'm going to see my covenant. And every time my wrath goes to be poured out upon your body, upon your earth, that is, I'm going to look at Calvary, and I'm going to see the covenant I made for perpetual generations. And I'm going to remember the spilling of the blood, and I'm going to remember that you're innocent of it, and I'm going to see my covenant, my rainbow in your spirit. I'm going to see my covenant in your spirit and hold back my wrath from the consummation or the consuming of your bodily earth that is made out of the dust. I'm going to hold it back, and when I go to chasten you, I'll chasten you as a son. And I go to deal with you, I'll deal with you as a son. And I go to deal with your body, I'll spare your body as the members of the Son of God. And I won't pour out my wrath upon your body to the consummation thereof, because I did it upon Noah's ark. I did it upon the body of Jesus. And in that I did it upon one human body, I won't do it upon another. In that I did it upon one family of Noah, one ark of Noah, and upon that earth, I won't do it anymore. In the natural, and upon the physical, in that I poured it out upon one physical human being, I'll remember my covenant, the Holy Ghost, the great rainbow of God. I'll remember my word, my spirit, my life within that great cloud, which is the Holy Ghost, Christ within you. And I won't do it anymore. You know, when Aaron would go into the little sanctuary, he would go in, he would put on his beautiful garments. The garments being the body of the resurrected Christ, the high priest. And his sons being the ministry that would put on their garments, that would go into the holy place, while Aaron would go into the holies of holies, into the third heaven, the third dimension, while the church and the ministry has access to the second heaven. He would go in, he would take the blood. He couldn't go in without the blood. He would take the blood, because the life is in the blood. The covenant is in the blood. And so then he would take the life, he would take the covenant, he would take the blood, and he would take the coal from off of this altar. He would go in with the censer of this wonderful perfume. God said, if anybody makes any like it, they'll be cut off from the tribe. This perfume that represented the prayers of the saints over in the book of Revelation, when it speaks of that angel going to the little golden altar, getting this coal off and mixing it with the prayers of the saints. Now, Aaron would go into the holies of holies, and when he would go into this place, he would stand there before the ark. That was the ark of Noah. That was the Ark of the Covenant. There was the little ark, Moses being saved in an ark. There was an ark with a mercy seat on it and the covering cherub that showed the rainbow. And here Aaron would go into that, the little old pomegranates all around his skirt, and the little bells just a jingling as he went in to make a beautiful sound, a joyful noise in the presence of God, with the little mitre up here with holiness unto the Lord. And he'd go in with this perfume, and he'd take the censer, he would drop the coal in it, into the bottle of perfume, as we would say, and the sweet-smelling savor would come up before God. God said, Noah, I'll never destroy the earth again. From the earth there comes up to me a sweet smelling savor, and I'll never destroy it anymore this way. And so the high priest would stand there, and when he would put this gold in the perfume, there would come up the beautiful cloud that God said he would set the rainbow in. And this beautiful cloud would cover this Ark of the Covenant and cover these beautiful cherubs that had their colorful wings. And the rainbow of the great covenant of God was there. And oh, what a beautiful thing, as the reflection of all the gold and the jewels and the beautiful things round about this throne would catch its way into this beautiful cloud and this beautiful smell, with this great high priest making intercession to the great invisible God, the Holy Spirit. And God would see the covenant as it was with the priest, with the Urim and the Thummim and the breastplate, and it flashed upon this to show the beautiful rainbow and the beautiful covenant. I'll place this within your spirit, and the great high priest, even Christ, even the Holy Ghost, that is inside of your heart, making intercession with your spirit to me, and being within the third realm, in the holies of holies, even the life itself, and in the sanctuary of the innermost, being within the heart, being within the spirit, as this great, wonderful Christ, the intercessor, cries out to me, I'll look and see within his spirit, your spirit as a cloud, his spirit of the great covenant and the great rainbow, in that he is heir and heir alone to the glory of God. Christ within you, the hope of glory. And I set my bow within this cloud for perpetual generations, that every time I get upset with you as an individual, I'm going to see that covenant, I'm going to see that bow, I'm going to see that Christ, I'm going to see that glory, and I'm just going to back off. Otherwise, I'd break forth on you and literally consume you and do away with you. But every time I get upset with you because of your evil, because of your shortcomings, because of your sins, I'm going to remind myself as I look and see this wonderful covenant. So then he said, Noah, I set my covenant within the clouds. I set my bow in the clouds that I might for perpetual generations remember, and that I might always remember that I may never again destroy mankind. For I know that your thoughts are evil from your youth. And I know that if I destroyed you because you was not righteous, I would not have a person left on the face of the earth. Because there's none good, no, not one. All of them have gone astray. And I've laid upon you, Jesus, the iniquity of all of them. You I bruised for their transgression. And the chastisement of their peace I laid upon you, that they may have a path of peace. And that it might be said, peace on earth and goodwill toward man. Now, therefore, being justified freely by the grace of God through faith of Jesus Christ, the bow is in the cloud, and it remains in the cloud. The bow is in the cloud, but if you don't have the bow, then you don't have any safety. If you don't have the bow, if you don't have the covenant, you don't have anything to keep the wrath of God off of you. And when God looks upon you, he sees you wretched, he sees you naked, he sees you blind, he sees you as being that which is contemptible in his sight and contrary to every good thing. The Bible said, without his spirit, you're none of his. Therefore, if you don't have the spirit of Christ, you don't have the covenant, because the covenant is within the cloud. The bow is within the cloud. You may be a believer, but the bow is within the cloud. Now, if you are a believer, you're safe for the moment, for the bow is in the cloud during the grace period of the physical part, as it was with the natural part. In the physical part, there is a bowl within the cloud, in that the blood was spilt in the cloud of today. The grace that is over you, the Spirit of God that is poured out upon all flesh, that there is a great, wonderful bowl that keeps you safe through the grace dispensation. But if you are not a believer, it does not extend beyond this grace period. If you are a believer, a true God believer that's been born again, that's received the Spirit of God, then beyond this grace period of this age, the bow remains within your cloud. For in the natural cloud there is a bow. In the physical covenant there is a bow with humanity in this world in grace. And in the angelic world, in the spiritual world, which is that which the human eye cannot see, that which is to come, as someone would say, in that cloud of the born-again believer, he that is filled with the Holy Ghost, there is a covenant or a bow within his cloud, within his spirit, and God sees it to keep his wrath from off of that individual. But beloved friend, let me tell you something. You might be a churchgoer. You might be a believer. You might be a Bethlehemite to the extent that you come here regular, that in some way you support this work. But if you're not born to the Holy Ghost, if you're not born to the Spirit of God, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, your conviction, your protection, that which keeps the wrath of God off of you will only last till the end of this generation, as we would say, or this grace dispensation that you are made partakers of. So then tonight, when we speak about this wonderful dove and the raven and much we could say about it, even as pertaining to the very hour in which we live and what's taking place. But when we speak about this, I say again, if you have the bow within the cloud, God said, I will never again pour my wrath out upon you. I know that your thoughts are evil. I know that your thoughts are evil from your birth. I know, but I tell you not to lean to your own understanding. I tell you to cast down the imagination. I tell you not to think as you've been thinking. I tell you to take the spirit of charity that thinketh no evil and this bond to perfection. And I tell you to quit repenting over and over and go on unto perfection and stop this repenting over and over to the extent that you do the same thing today that you've done yesterday and you don't make any efforts to straighten your life out. God said, I don't want this. I want you to leave the foundation of repentance. I want you to go on to perfection. I've laid a foundation. I've perfected forever them that are sanctified. I've given you the tutoring of the ministry. I've given you the wisdom and understanding and the knowledge that you may hear, that you may believe, and that you may put forth the effort, having a performance as you've had a will unto righteousness. Not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance, of dead works and dead faith toward God. I don't want this, God said. I want you to go on. I want you to go on. But you can't go on if you don't have the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the covenant. You may have the covenant of the second dimension, just as the people have the covenant of the first dimension. And you may have right to the covenant of the first dimension, knowing that God isn't going to destroy this natural earth anymore by water. You may have the right to the second covenant, knowing that the life being in the blood, that as long as this earth stands, there's going to be grace, and God is going to give grace. Somebody says God is a good God. He certainly is. There is none good but God. But through this generation, you may be partakers of that. Now, so that you can have medical aid and whatever in the time of your suffering. But there's one thing that you're not partakers of, and that is the bow that is within the cloud or the covenant that pertains to the angelic world or the spiritual world, which is those that are born of God that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Them that have been translated into the kingdom of God, them that have been born to the Spirit that are Spirit, and them that are holy and godly and righteous that has this wonderful mind of revelation. Asking God to grant unto you the spirit of revelation that your eyes of understanding might be enlightened to comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width of this wonderful thing of God. And folks, I'm going to say this in closing tonight. You, many of you, don't have it. Many of you don't have it. You're not acquainted with it. You don't have it and you're not going to get it. Many of you. You know why? Because you don't have time for God and you don't have time for spiritual things and you don't have a mind to think holy. You don't have a mind to desire the wonderful things of God, to hunger and thirst after the wonderful things of Jesus Christ. You don't have time to be still and know that He's God. You don't have the kind of attitude that followers after charity the way Paul commanded us to do. You're too busy doing other things and wanting other things, and you're too interested in the natural side of life and the carnal things of life to be heavenly minded. So then tonight, I say these things to you, all because I know that many of you don't have a mind to hear the things of God or to see the things of God. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. If the Spirit says something unto the church, then let them that have an ear hear it. Because them that have an ear are going to receive the heavenly things of God to the heavenly order, a heavenly eternal substance, to a heavenly eternal regime with God, a heavenly eternal treasure. But them that don't have an ear to hear is not going to receive it. You're going through the days of grace. You're going to be a believer. You're going to be religious. Going to do your thing. Lean to your own understanding. Be gullible for the things of the world and be just as religious. Reflect another's light and be just as religious by reflecting that light and feeling just as much of God in the sense of the Spirit being poured out upon all flesh and then dying and going to hell at the end of the way. But to you that have this wonderful covenant, I will remember, saith the Lord. And each time that I'm disturbed at you, I'll remember. And I won't pour out of my wrath upon you. I'll remember that I did it on the ark of Calvary, on the body of Jesus. And I'll just chasten you and deal with you as a son, that this may be always in remembrance. I've engraven you in the palms of my hand that I might not forget you. And I'll always bring this wonderful covenant back of him that is clothed with the cloud and the rainbow upon his head at Calvary. I want you to stand with me. God is good. There is none good but God. How can we then know, how can we then tell who is and who is not? The child is known by his doings. How can we know, how can we tell? Because tonight we speak of heavenly things, tomorrow you'll be in earthly bondage. You'll go home to the reading of your magazines. It's more interesting and thrilling to you. Your love stories and your foolishness. And you'll go back to the vain jingling of wandering through the dime stores. It used to be dime stores. It's dollar stores now. You'll go back to the corner of slipping around, catching a little bit on TV and wanting to know what the Falcons done and the Braves and whatever you have, the Bulldogs and whatever you know in your town, the Red Devils and I don't know what all. The Lost Angels, I believe they call them in California. You'll be interested in knowing a little about this and seeking a little over here. You'll go back to your earthly bondage, being in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world because of your gullibleness. You'll go back to your earthly bondage. You know, I've said this a number of times and I repeat it again tonight. God doesn't care how many natural things you have. The more, the better labor that you might have to give, even the more. God will give you the desires of your heart if you seek him. He'll multiply your substance. His blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. God doesn't care about the carnal. As a matter of fact, Paul said, I've sown spiritual things. Shall I not reap of your carnal? If others be partakers of this, shall I be even the more? But God does care when we become carnally minded. God cares. He made Adam and Eve heavenly minded and subjected them to his wonderful will and way, while he subjected all of his creation to Adam and Eve. And thus Adam and Eve was the power, the gods, the rulers, the owners of all natural things. But when Lucifer, who had been excommunicated from glory, Lucifer, who could not have the heavenly things, when Lucifer got a hold of the mind of man and subjected him, man subjected him to vanity, the creature to vanity. Then instead of being God over everything and Lord over everything, Lucifer was Lord over man. No good thing working in the flesh. He that savors the things of carnality, that keeps the mind carnal. Thus he became the God of all things. And it has been so that since man left his heavenly realm, he is not owner of anything anymore,
but only the prey of Satan. But them that have been born again, your minds have been placed back into the heavenly realm. You own all things. All things are yours. You're heir and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Your mind has gone back to where Adam's was, this time to never be overthrown. And God wants you to enjoy all the natural things. He's given them to you. The birds, the bees, everything. No, I've given you everything. But being heavenly minded, you're their master. You're the controller. You're the keeper. You're the watchman upon the wall. Being heavenly minded, they all belong to you and they're subject to you. But to you that are subject to vanity from the fall, that hasn't had the restoration, you are no more than a beast. You're just part of the beast that's wandering around in the beast kingdom that's subject to Lucifer in that he entered into the beast. It's a sad situation. Sad situation. But it's so wonderful to them that can understand and them that can perceive and them that can know and them that can desire. But you that are beastly, you'll go back to your beastly way of life. You will continue in it, that is. You that are beastly, you're so busy, you're a time creature. You have to do everything by a clock. Your mind is controlled by time. You that are a beast, you that are subject to vanity, you creature that is subject to vanity, you'll go back to your ball games and eating and drinking and frolic, lying, deceiving, gossiping, backbiting, looking for convenience and wanting to make money and try to have all kind of businesses and everything else for your own good instead of laboring that you might have to give. You'll go back to all of those things, cracking jokes, laughing, you know, having a good time instead of mourning and calling on God and being sober. You'll go back to your prestige and your lust and your adultery and your desiring one another's bodies to dishonor them between yourselves. You'll go back to your old beastly way of life. But you that love God and you that have the minds of Christ and you that have been elevated to another world, you won't be after another woman's husband and you won't be interested in somebody else, sitting around gazing at somebody else, carrying yourselves like some proud peacock when you walk strutting around, you know. Some of you men do that and some of you women do that. You won't be like that. You won't be living with one man when you want another. You won't be living with one woman when you want another. You'll be holy and you'll be godly and you'll be pure, even to the thoughts that there won't be one evil thought in your mind. Not one evil thought. You will not allow not one evil thought. Not one. Noah, I've seen you righteous before me out of this generation. Come ye into the ark, you and your family. And so Jesus went in, and his family went in. And they've been shut in. And now the hour is approaching when they're fixing to come out of the ark. And they're fixing to walk through the new earth. And they're fixing to be the masters of everything. They've escaped death and time. And they've gotten away from the foolishness and the beggarly elements of the world and the passions of the body. I set my bow in the clouds for perpetual generations. Slip your hands up. While you've got your hands up, I'm going to ask Brother Jerry Whitlow to come up here and dismiss us in a word of prayer. And while he's coming, let's thank for just a moment now. Let's ask God to help us. Don't forget church time, 6:30 at night from now. And let's just stop and thank now. You know, I don't know how long I'll be with you because we've got to go back down to Florida. I got to go back and get things intact down there for the sake of your investment and for the sake of Christ, as far as I know, unless he tell me different. Understand, maybe tomorrow Sister C is coming down. There's a real revelational thing to her wanting to come down here from Wisconsin. It was her picture that was in that little book of life. That little book of life had a great significance. And I've thought about her coming at this time. But you stop and think, folks. Mervyn Wilson, I remember, used to sing the song, time is winding up. Everything is close. Brezhnev's death, things are taking place. Jerry's vision, the ball of fire, something is taking place, folks.